preaching on the subject this morning of God's great salvation. God's great salvation. I never cease to be amazed and thankful for the salvation that God provided to me. And I believe that James talks about this great salvation here in this portion of Scripture that he gives us, James chapter 1 and verse 18. You'll notice with me. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. One of the most important events that ever takes place in anybody's life is to be saved by the grace of God. I hear a lot of things that people say about various events and how great that it is. And you know, people can get excited about various events and things that take place. But salvation is the most important event in any person's life. You know, because eternal life is the greatest possession that a person will ever possess. I thought about Peter. Let me say, silver and gold have I none. But what he was talking about, he had something that was far greater than silver and gold. And that was to be saved by the grace of God. Now, people, when they talk about being saved, I hear sometimes people say, saved? What do you mean saved? Saved from what? Now, there are some things that we're saved from. And I believe the Word of God brings us out. And I believe that we see here that James is talking about in this salvation that we have is that God has delivered us. I'm thankful this morning to be delivered by the grace of God according to the salvation that God has provided for me. Now, if the Lord saved you, he's not only just saved your soul. Now, he has saved your soul. And I'm thankful for that. But I'll tell you something else that I'm just as thankful for. And not only the saving of my soul, but also the saving of my life. Now, brethren, my life is being saved. And if your soul is saved, your life also is being saved. And I believe that James brings this out. Now I want us to notice the two aspects of this great salvation that God has provided for us here in verse 18. He says, first of all, and this is why I title this God's salvation. And I think it's important that men know that salvation is God's salvation. What I mean by that, the source or the author of salvation is God. And even though God gives it to you, and it becomes yours, it's still God's salvation. And so we see that there are two aspects of this salvation that God gives here in verse 18. Now if you'll notice, he says here, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The first thing that I want us to think about, and there is, this verse is just divided up into two parts, and the first is the saving of the soul, and the second part is the saving of the life. Now, the saving of the soul, dealing with this, you'll notice it said, beget he us. Now, we would say, he beget us. And this is the King James, you know, here. But I would say, or you would say, he beget us. Now, the word beget, we know, signifies a birth. There are two kind of births that are talked about or spoken of in the Word of God. You go to any of his genealogies, especially like, for instance, Matthew chapter 1, and there in verse 2 down through verse 16, and you'll see that it describes, the word beget describes a natural birth. It will say, Abraham beget Isaac, and Isaac beget Jacob. But what it's talking about, it is talking about a bringing forth or a birth from father to son. And sometimes this is the way the word is used in the Word of God. The word beget is used to describe a natural birth. But that's not how James is using it. For James says here in James 1:18, of his own will beget he us, and he says with the word truth. Now that's not the way the natural birth comes about. But the birth that he's talking about here is a supernatural birth. The natural birth is God permit a man and a woman to come together and for her to conceive and then to bear a child. That is the way that the natural birth comes about. But we find that the supernatural does not come about that way. But we find here it is used when he says here in verse 18, begetting us of his own will, beginning us with the word of truth. It is used to signify a supernatural birth, which is not according to the order of nature, but it's according to God's order. The thing of it is, it's hard for the natural man. As a matter of fact, it's impossible for the natural man, apart from God, to understand about a supernatural birth. Now, we all know about a natural birth. We begin, even as a child, our parents teaching us about the natural birth. And how that, as they say, where babies come from. It's what they talk about, and they're talking about a natural birth. And it's something that we teach our children, and that we know. And we know that also, of course, is God's order and God's way, even though it is referred to as a natural birth. But now, supernaturally, being born again is what the Apostle James is talking about here. If you'll turn over to 2 Peter in there in chapter 1, and in verse 4, you'll find here what it says. Now, when we were naturally born, we are partakers of nature. And Paul talks about that. We were children of wrath, even as others. That is, naturally. When he was talking about that in Ephesians chapter 2. But then, that's not the kind of birth he's talking about. He's talking about a supernatural birth. And when this supernatural birth takes place in a person's heart and life, then they are partakers of the supernatural. Now look what it says. 2 Peter 1:4. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now notice, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now we all know about the other nature, but there is a divine nature also, and that you can become a partaker of the divine nature. Now that comes about when you are born again, or when you're regenerated, or when of his own will begets you up, he says, having escaped. This is in here too. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through a lust. Now I believe that when we become partakers of the divine nature is when God's spiritual life is imparted to the soul. When a person is saved by the grace of God, we immediately then become partakers of the divine nature. Brother, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll affect you all over. What it'll do? We're talking about the second coming this morning, and you know how sometimes you have thought. I said, well, the reason you have thoughts about the second coming is you're saved, and you know the Lord's coming. And that's an effect of the supernatural birth. That's exactly what happens. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 talks about, you know, the chastisement that our natural parents give us because of natural birth. But then he talks about another kind of chastisement that our Heavenly Father gives us because we've experienced the supernatural birth and we've become partakers of the divine nature. That's the only people that the Lord chastises in this way. Hebrews 12:10. For they verily, that's just talking about our parents, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Now notice, but he for our profit, why? That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now I believe that we see immediately here that when we're regenerated, we become partakers of the divine nature, and then through the process of time, God dealing with us as his children, we become partakers of his holiness. Brings us right down to the ultimate end. Well, really not the end, but brings us right down to the consummation of what God would have us to in 1 John 3, and there in verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. This all is manifested in this supernatural birth of his own will, begetting us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And notice, and every man that hath this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is. That's because that we have become partakers of the divine nature. So we see a beget he up. But then, you know, you hear all of this free willism today and Arminianism and all of this, like man's in control and God has something to offer, but you know, he might be able to do something with it and he might not be able to do it. James don't talk like that, and Paul don't talk like that, Peter don't talk like that. What he says here, and we're talking about here in James 1 and verse 18, if you'll notice, we're talking about a supernatural birth, we're talking about a person being regenerated, we're talking about a person being saved, and he says this, of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. He ain't talking about your will, he's talking about God's will. Of his, that's why it's God's salvation. Of his own will, begetting up. So what we see from this great truth, it's not some new idea, it's God's Word. What we see from this is regeneration is the result of the deliberate will of God. Nobody ever is regenerated apart from the will of God. Of his own will, begetting up. In other words, what he said, he saw fit and he began. That's what it means. When Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, and there in verse 5 of this familiar passage of Scripture, he says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, now notice, to himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This didn't happen to you, adoption, predestination didn't happen to you because you will. But it happened because God will. Regeneration or salvation don't come to a person because they will. It's because God will. Now, anybody that knows anything about the Word of God knows that you're willing. And you become willing in the day of His power. God leads you along, you'll never be willing. You'll never make any attempt whatsoever. So it is of His own will. So regeneration is not left to chance. A lot of people today have a chance religion. They have a hope-so religion. They have a hope-so salvation. It's not left to them. Of His own will beget He us. It is not depending upon our will. Regeneration is not by faith. This truth is seen. The Apostle John, well, Peter preached it, Paul preached it, John preached it, Jesus preached it. Everybody that knew anything preached it from the Word of God. Listen to what it said in John chapter 1. This is a great truth. John chapter 1, and if you'll notice with me there, in verse 12 and in verse 13, it makes this so plain. And I think about this. It said in verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name." Now it says, "which were born." Now the same born here is the same birth that James is talking about in James 1:18, which is a supernatural birth. It's not a natural birth. It says, "which were born, not of blood." In other words, you're not regenerated because of kin or bloodlines. And then he said, "nor of blood, nor of the will of flesh." Nor he said, "nor of the will of man." And he brings it right down. So, you know, the supernatural birth doesn't come by blood. It doesn't come by the will of the flesh. And it doesn't come by the will of man. But what verse 13 says, but by the will of God. So it's the same thing James is saying. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. Well, listen to these Armenian Baptist preachers, and I'd sure like to explain this to them, but if the Holy Spirit don't do it, they'll never understand it.
Amen.
They fill their churches with easy believism. I mean, it's just pathetic. It's pathetic today. What we're seeing that's happening in so-called Baptist churches and taking place today. And it's sort of a social gift. What it really becomes in that. So, regeneration. Now, this is just as strong as the Word of God. This is exactly what the Word of God has to say. Now, some do receive Him, but when they receive Him, they receive Him by God's power. What God does, He grants to them repentance and faith. The birth or the regeneration is not of blood, it's not the will of flesh, it's not owing to anything in man, by man, or from man. It's all owing to God.
Amen.
And to God be the glory. So we see this great truth that is given to us here. Now this truth is also seen in 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 23. It said this, "being born again," this is the same supernatural birth, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now, not according to corruptible seed, not according to the natural law, not according to the natural way. And we find how that begotten not by man, but by God Himself. One of the best illustrations of this, and it's very practical, it's a very clear illustration of the Word of God, is John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Jesus had a conversation with a man of the name Nicodemus. And Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "How can these things be? How can a man be born again? Or how can a man enter his mother's womb when he's old and be born again?" The natural man can't understand that. And Jesus smiled and said, further I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. He went on to explain there's a natural birth, and there's a supernatural birth. And the natural birth is by God, according to the flesh, but the supernatural birth is by the Spirit of God. It's such a mystery today. Men sit around and try to figure it all out, and they work about a plan. So now here's how we can get more people. And you know, that really happens. So we see here that man has nothing to do with his supernatural birth. I got into a discussion with Bob Miles before he died. And what he didn't like was what I was preaching on the radio about election. And I said, brother, we've been praying for you. You had cancer, we've been praying for you. And I said, you know, the thing of it is, God has a time for you to die. He said, oh, I think man has a choice in that. Who ever heard such a silly thing? I asked Brother Miles, and I do this respectfully. I'm not saying this because man's dead and gone, but I just thought about the truth. I said, let me ask you something. Did you decide when you was going to be born? He said, why not? You didn't either, did you? And I thought about this, and how people literally hate the greatest truth that there is in God's Word. I question people's salvation of faith that hates truth. I do. Now, I know you can be in ignorance, and I know you cannot be taught, but we're talking about the grace of God. That's what we're talking about. And I said, well, when you were born naturally, no, I said, you participated, did you? You did. And I said, it's the same thing when it comes to being regenerated or saved. You don't bring that about. You don't bring that supernatural birth about. God brings it about. But you participate. And how I told him, I said, brother, the Word of God says it's appointed a man to die in the judgment. There's an appointment. The whole thing is people don't want to recognize that God's in control of things. But God controls our destiny. You wouldn't be here today if it were not for the God of heaven. And you wouldn't be saved today if it were not for the God of heaven. So we see that he brings this great truth. Man never wills his regeneration. But God makes him willing in the name of his power. Man doesn't will his new birth, but he participates, and he wants to be saved more than anything else. The only reason any man wants to be saved is because God made him want to be saved. He don't even know he's lost till God brings it about. I get worked up about this. It's a great truth, folks. It all depends on whether you're saved or not. What depends on is what you believe. Now, but then, God has means. God never saves anybody against their will. I never saw a person saved against their will. Every person I've ever seen saved wanted to be more than anything else. And the only reason they wanted to be more than anything else was because God already worked on them. But he has a way to work on them. He has some means. James talks about it here, James chapter 1, and verse 18. Now look at this. We're talking about saving your soul. His own will, that's God's will, God's own will, beget or regenerated he us with. Somebody say, if I believe that, I wouldn't ever preach. Yes, you would if you believe what I believe you'd preach.
Amen.
And you'd preach with a purpose. Because God has a design, a means that He's going to save him. He said, with the word of truth. So I believe that the Word of God tells us plainly that the supernatural birth is connected with God's means, the Word of truth. Paul, I believe, said this when he said in Ephesians chapter 1, and there in verse 13, he said this. Listen to this. In whom you also trusted, after. Not before, but in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Now, isn't James preaching the same thing Paul preached? He said, of his own will, begetting us with the word of truth. And Paul said, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. That's why I preach. And that's why every preacher that knows any truth preaches is because God's ordained means is the truth, the Word of God. So we see that really what he says here in this, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believe. And he's got the order. He's got it right here. He's got the order. You trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You weren't sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise before you believed, and you didn't believe before you heard the word of truth.
Amen.
You can turn it around. God's order and God's design that God has brought after. You heard the word of truth with your outer ears, but you also heard it with the inner ears. And you remember when you really heard the truth? You know, the Word of God may have been preached to you a long time before you ever really fully come to recognize it as the truth. I remember years ago, as a young lad, used to be when, and I told this here before, I'm sure, you know, you 20-some years, you sort of start telling things, you know, and you repeat them. It's a sign I'm getting younger. I remember as a young lad, used to be street preacher. And I didn't even know who the man was, but I remember one thing that rings in my ears that I could hear. This man stood on the courthouse square in Richmond, they'd laughed at him. And he had a system of great bell out. He's preaching, you must be born again. I had no idea what that meant. Didn't know anything about it, but I heard it. And I believe that that was even part of his own will to get it up with the word of truth. The word of truth. What? You must be born again. That's the word of truth, and I heard it. Don't necessarily mean that God's going to save you first time you ever hear any truth. Because there is the principle of the planting, and there's the principle of the watering, and then there's the principle of God giving input. God's time. But I believe that Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, he said, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And here's what he says about that. Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now, it must be preached in word. That's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. I heard that years ago in word only. But one day, I heard it in power. And I heard it in the Holy Ghost. But it was at God's appointed time to bring that amount. Now I believe that we see here the evidence of a necessity to preach the gospel. That's why that we are compelled by the Word of God to be missionary back. is because of his own will began he us with the word of truth. And we have the word of truth. I don't hesitate at all to preach grace on the radio or wherever that I get the opportunity to preach. The Holy Spirit quickens. The Holy Spirit makes alive that old lost, dead, a sinner. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens them and makes them alive. Listen to John chapter 6 and there in verse 63. It is the flesh that quickens. Now look at this. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now I've been telling you about the flesh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you. But go on and you'll find that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. There's a necessity. It must be the Word, which is truth, and the Spirit. Of his own will, beget he us with the Word of truth. Listen, Paul made this plain when he said in Ephesians 6:17, he said here, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit that enables a person to hear the Word of God. It is the Word of God that's the sword of the Spirit, or what the Holy Spirit uses to slay a person. Brother, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible speaks of it. So, Peter said it is begotten by the Word, by the means of the Word of God. That's why that we preach the gospel. And that's why that we propagate the gospel. When Paul was writing the church at Corinth, listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. That is through the word of truth. So God's ordained means is the gospel. Now Peter speaks, and when he does speak here in 1 Peter 1:23, he speaks of the effect of the Word of God. The Word of God is that which is sufficient. That which God uses, and it's sufficient for all time. There will never be a time that the Word of God will be outdated.
Amen.
It'll always serve the purpose that God has designed it for. Now that's the saving of the soul. And I wonder this morning how many of you here your soul saved. But then that's not all that James said in this. He said, of his own will, beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his fruits. Now this is the second part, and that is the saving of the life. I thought about this and years ago. I preached this message here 6 years ago, this very Sunday. 6 years ago. So I led to preach this message again this morning. And I thought about this is needed as much now, if not more, than it was needed then.
Amen.
6 years ago. And I thought about too many people today, and I always try to pray, Lord, I thank you for the great salvation. Not only, and I am thankful for the saving of my soul, but I'm thankful for the saving of my life. And I say that to the Lord's honor, the Lord's glory. And that's what James is speaking about. Of his own will began he us with the word of truth. That's the soul. But the life is that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Brother, that's the saving of the life. The creatures of God, all of them, and we've talked about this, and we talked about the Trinity and all, the creatures of God were designed by a holy God. Every creature. And when I first came across this, I thought of this here in James 1:18. But God designed to produce a higher style of creatures.
And we find that his eternal design of regeneration in his people is what he was speaking about here. That you should be a kind of first fruit
of his creatures. We've taken back seat to holiness too long.
Amen.
I'm a better person today than when the Lord saved me. And you are too. If you don't claim that truth, you sure ain't got much. And you're limiting God, and you're sure restricting God, and you're sure restricting His Word. But He says, of His own will beget He up with the Word of truth. Now, I'm not boasting in me in the flesh. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about God. And I'm talking about God's salvation. We're so pious, it's pitiful. You know what? We have so much humble pie and so much self-righteousness with it that we neglect some of these truths. And we forget to give God the glory and God the honor and God the praise. Not only did He have power to save our soul, but He has power to save our life. Not only has it, but He does it.
Amen.
Just as He saved my soul, He saved my life. Now, His eternal design. Now, this is His eternal design. So it begins at the regeneration. That's when it's first realized. I didn't know until the Lord saved me that there was such a thing as saving my life. But I know it. I've known it. I knew it then, and I know it now. And we find that Paul said, here it is. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I believe this bears out exactly what James said in James 1, 18. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now look at this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now what did James say? Of his own will be getting up with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creature. All of the creatures belong to God because He made them. But I'll tell you, there is a special affection of God upon those that He saved and He's regenerated. What He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. You know what the tense is there? He is. And the reason He is because He's been regenerated. And brother, when you're regenerated, you're regenerated. Present tense. He is a new creature. Now, as a result of being a new creature, here's some things progressively happen. Old things have passed away. When you think back when the Lord saved you and how the Lord began to work on you, remember some things that were in your life that ought not to be in your life, and you continue to do them, God worked on you, and you're not doing them now. Now, who do you give the Lord to? God. Who do you pray for that? God. There's some things that I used to do that I don't do to God's glory. There's some things that I never did to God's glory. And how thankful I am to the glory of God. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There's some things now in my life that was unthinkable before I was saved with the grace of God. There are things now that I love that I had no use for. Before God said that. I remember yesterday listening to Brother Clark preach, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. 1950-something, I'd rather have been married. 1950-something, I would have been a man. Not that I'd rather have been, I would have been. I'd have been supporting Hollywood trash like people do today. some people sit up all night and look at it and don't come to church on Sunday morning. Can't get to Sunday school and stuff like that. Supporting Hollywood trash. But I'm talking about a creature of creation becomes a new creature. And brother, old things keep on passing away. And all things have become new. And we come to the new things. What happens is we progressively separate from the world. And the world doesn't have a hold on us like it did when the Lord saved us. I see young people sometimes, and adults too, that can't turn loose of the world. I don't know that they're not saved. But then when the Lord saves some of them, then I see the difference. I don't know this, but I'm confident today that what we need many times is to be saved. I know that people backslide, but we've used that as a crutch. I mean, you know, we like to find us something to lean on and use some excuses and crutches. I've never seen a day when people were trying to find more ways to not serve the Lord and get out of serving the Lord. Now, there's something wrong with things like that. And I can't understand that. I know that there's times in my life, and I recognize that. But I'm talking about, of His own will, beginning us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. God is an omniscient God. God is an omnipotent God. God ruleth and God reigns. I believe it. Well, it all, James gives it here, and there's a saving life. And the reason, a lot of times, and he goes on and tells us, I believe in this, James chapter 1, I'm not going to go into depth on this, but I'm going to get into this, and he talks about now getting into this thing of saving life, and I said this, and I know you probably, you think about this often, why is it today? When we talk about godly living and saving our life, people climb up. Why is it that Baptist churches, I hear people talk about it all the time, and I really don't believe they've got what it takes to do it. And we've got what it takes, and we clam up. People, you know, they don't want to hear you preach about sin. Don't want to hear you preach about adultery and fornication and drinking. Don't want to hear you preach about not loving your neighbor and not helping your neighbor. Don't want to hear you preach about all those things.
I believe before regeneration, a person doesn't have the ability to do right.
But then after we're regenerated, after saving the soul, then God gives us an ability to word that we can do that which is right and that which is good. God.
Separation of the world begins to be birth. Here's the whole key, I believe. Verse 19. Before my beloved brethren, let a man be swift to hear. You know what the Word of God says about hearing? It is today that we don't want to be submissive to God's Word. An exhortation we have here is slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're to heed and to honor the Word of God as not only the agency that God uses to save us, but also our soul, but also to save our lives. Same truth that brings about the saving of our soul is the same truth that brings about the saving of our life. Separation from the world begins in our lives of regeneration and continues by hearing the Word of God. So we're exhorted to hear the Word of God. Scripture after Scripture, the Word of God. So in closing, I wish that you'd look at this verse and probably sometime I want to preach on the second point. And it seems like I always spend all my time on the first one. I should preach on the second one. But James 1:18, of His own will, begetting us with the word of truth. Isn't that a glorious truth? But then, this is just as glorious, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creature. Now, this isn't inconsistent either with the Word of God, because the verse that we really love preach so much as Ephesians 1:4. Now look at this. And it carries with it the same thought. It says, Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, now look at this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I don't know of a greater salvation, because there's not. The saving of our soul, but also the saving of our life. I'm thankful the Lord saved me, and I have a place reserved in heaven. But I'm thankful the Lord saved me from this present evil world. I'm no more righteous than anybody else, apart from the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that God, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, has worked on my life. And I'm thinking, there's some things I wouldn't give you a dime to do. And people go crazy. Now, there's no difference in me and you, humanly speaking, but the Word of God and the grace of God. And you better give God the glory. And you better thank God for the great salvation. Were it not for the grace of God, we would be as and do as other men do. If you're not saved this morning, I pray that it might please the great God of heaven that He would grant you repentance and faith. And when He saves your soul, then you'll begin to find out what I'm talking about, saving your life. And every one of you that are saved this morning, your soul will say, you know what I'm talking about. And you know how God's working in you. And God's working through you. And God's working for you. You know. And you experience that.